The gift of the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us today, that the Word of God would come with power, and that it would ignite our hearts for greater love for you, for your church, and for the world that you came to save. Lord, we do pray that you would empower me as the preacher of your word, even as you empowered Peter to stand before those gathered on the day of Pentecost so long ago and proclaim that the kingdom of God, everything that we have been expecting, the future reign of God had begun to break into the world through the gift of the Holy Spirit upon your church. So now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, brothers and sisters, we have five baptisms this morning. Five children are going to be baptized. And since we have five baptisms this morning, and it's so important that of the service, I am going to preach an extra long sermon. No, I'm not, God willing. It'll be just right. Many years ago, if you know Christchurch by now, you know that there are certain names that come up that get quoted a lot, and G.K. Chesterton is one of those names. And many years ago, G.K. Chesterton famously quipped, he did a lot of quipping, by the way, he quipped that Christianity has not been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and not tried. Not been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and not tried. Well, beloved, I just want you to know that I think G.K. Chesterton is wrong. He's wrong. Christianity is not difficult. The Christian life is impossible. It's impossible. It's not hard to live the Christian life. It's just impossible to do it. And by the way, doesn't that make you feel better? Thank you for your encouragement this morning, Father Ben. And here's what I mean, though. It's impossible to be consistent in your prayer life and your devotion to God. It's impossible to live victoriously over besetting sins and entangling habits and seductive temptations. It's impossible to love your neighbor as yourself. Have you met your neighbors? It's impossible to forgive and love your enemies, and we're commanded to do that. That's impossible. It's impossible to witness about your faith in Jesus Christ in the face of personal fear and outward scorn and persecution. It's impossible to lay down your life and take up your cross and follow Jesus. It's impossible to effectively serve Jesus Christ in every way so that our lives bear eternal fruit for the kingdom. And if we are left to ourselves, the one thing we have to look forward to in the Christian life, if left to ourselves, is complete, abject, total defeat. But that's not the end of the story. Because today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And we mean a feast. We didn't just come to church to have a big deal at church. We're going to have a feast after this. We're going to feast in a North Carolina style. There will be a pig picking following this. This is the fulfillment of what Jesus promised to his disciples. He promised them that he would send them a helper for the impossible Christian life. That we read about that in John chapter 14 this morning. As the scriptures reveal, this helper, this person, comes alongside of and empowers Jesus' followers to live the Christian life. And that helper is none other than God himself, God the Holy Spirit. This is what the scripture says. Listen again, John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a paraclete, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, listen, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I hope you heard that. God the Holy Spirit, the helper, is not just going to dwell with us. Jesus promised his disciples that he would be in them. So while it is humanly, humanly impossible to live the Christian life. The very God who created the cosmos is going to take up residence in the life of the believer and his church to supernaturally empower us to live the life impossible. Please hear this, and if you're writing anything down, you might want to write this down. The supernatural is natural in the Spirit-filled Christian life. The supernatural is natural in the Spirit-filled Christian life. Back in Acts chapter 1, we heard another promise of the Holy Spirit. This is right before Jesus ascended into heaven. And here's what Jesus said. You, telling his disciples, but you will receive power, dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite from. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, how do we live the Christian life? Where is this? How are we going to live this impossible life? You will receive power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, power to do what? He says, and you will be my witness, my martyrs, my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I had to get some car work done, and so my car was in the shop, and they sent a shuttle to pick me up to come pick up my car. And as we were driving along, something happened in that car. And I didn't mean for it to happen. I didn't plan for it to happen. But I was sitting there across from the driver. And the next thing I know, I'm telling him about Jesus. This is crazy. You know, the Christian life, the Spirit-filled life, often seems strange and even crazy to our unregenerate neighbors. The natural person, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural, the unregenerate, the unborn-again person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Why would I speak to a total stranger about something, about the name that seems to be the name everybody's afraid and embarrassed to mention? And I found myself saying, I love the Lord Jesus Christ because he saved me. In the natural man, I don't have the power or even the desire to do that. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. That's so awesome. So who has this helper living inside of them? What kinds of people have access to this supernatural living? Well, first of all, if we have not, please listen, because even to this day, even though nominal Christianity is dying out and the nominal Christians figured out, hey, there's no social cachet in being identified as a Christian, so I've got an extra hour or two on Sunday morning, I'm not going to church anymore. So we don't have a lot of nominal Christians in church like when I was growing up. Half the congregation when I was growing up wasn't saved. Sometimes the preacher wasn't saved. That's how popular nominal Christianity was. That sounds so judgmental, Ben. Well, let's just say they didn't have the fruits of the new birth in their life. But here's the thing. If we've not experienced the new birth, and sometimes even today in the church there are nominal Christians, but if we've not experienced the new birth, if we've not repented of sin and accepted Christ and been born again by water and the Holy Spirit, then we are not indwelt. We don't have access to this supernatural living. But in contrast, listen to what St. Paul says. He says this in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery. Isn't that good news? So many people think that the Spirit of God, the regenerate life, the new birth leads to a confining life, sort of an enslaved life. And this is the opposite. Paul says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So Paul indicates that, here, listen, when a person genuinely accepts Christ, The Spirit of God comes to live within them and bears witness to their own spirit that they are now children of God. God gives us the inward assurance of our salvation via the Holy Spirit. So the Bible clearly teaches. And by the way, folks, I want to tell you this. This is so important in this current moment. No Christian denomination has any power if it abandons the authority of God's word. Note, I don't care what flavor of Christian you are. When you come to the parts of the Bible that offend you and you try to explain them away, you are running away from the clear teaching of God's word, and that denomination will lose its anointing and your lampstand will be taken away. So the Anglican way of being a Christian, you hear me quoting Bible throughout all this, you heard so much Bible already. If we ever abandon the authority of God's word, the power goes away from the church. And so when I tell you these things, I want you to know we're drawing them completely from the Word of God. We're under the authority of God's Word. And the Bible clearly teaches that when a person is regenerated, when a person experiences the new birth, he or she is baptized by the Holy Spirit. This is what the Scriptures teach in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what St. Paul says. When he's writing to the church in Corinth, he's writing to the church in Corinth. He uses the term all when he addresses them. And I want you to listen to this. He's speaking to all of the believers in the Corinthian church. Here's what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For he's talking to the converted, for we were all... How many is in the set of all? All. For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body. Talking to the church, whether Jews or Greeks or slave or free. We were all, how many is all? Everybody, given of the one spirit to drink. So please hear, this is important clarification. All truly converted Christians, according to God's word, not the tradition of man, but according to God's word, are baptized by one spirit into the body of Christ, the church. Now, this is where it becomes very applicable in the Christian life. While we are all baptized by the one spirit into Christ, we still all need to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between being indwelt and being filled. Now, Anglicans, this is going to offend some of you, but Anglicans, you know, not everybody, but Anglicans, some Anglicans don't have any problem going down to the pub and getting a pint. We do this to honor C.S. Lewis. St. Clive of Belfast. And when they put that beautiful amber liquid in that glass, I don't want it just to be indwelt. I want it to be filled with the amber essence of the golden grain. We want it to be filled. Or if you're a tea drinker, you want your teacup to be filled, not just indwelt. I'll give you an example of what I mean here, and I haven't given this example in a long time, so some of y'all won't know. This is an old illustration for me, but years ago, back during World War II, I wasn't alive then, by the way. You think this is personal experience, but it's not. I watched the History Channel. We had this amazing aircraft. It was called the P-38 Lightning. And it was a twin-boom aircraft, had two propellers on it. Beautiful, just elegant design. And that plane, once they worked out some of the problems with it, like the propensity to crash when it went into a dive, that's a problem. You don't want that to happen. But once they fixed a couple of problems with it, they found it was one of the most effective fighters in the Allied arsenal of aircraft. And the American P-38 was an amazing airplane, and the UK said, well, we'd like to have some of those too. And we said, okay, we'll give you this airplane. We'll sell you the P-38 for your defense of your beautiful green island there. And they said, thank you very much. But what we did not sell them was that there was a secret part of that aircraft. It was a supercharger, a GE supercharger, on those two engines that propelled the aircraft. And without that supercharger, that aircraft would fly, but it just didn't perform. It was a flying aircraft, but it was not the powerful P-38 Lightning aircraft that it was designed to be. The Holy Spirit is the supercharger on the Christian life. It's the difference between being indwelt and being infilled. We're all called to be continuously filled by the Holy Spirit. Many Christians have a remarkable, life-changing experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit when they're converted. I certainly did. It was amazing, life-changing, dramatic. And many Christians have a remarkable, life-changing experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit following their conversion. And many times, many of us find ourselves empowered with new abilities. We call those spiritual gifts, given by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of empowering His church for Christian mission through believers, empowering us for witness by being filled by the Holy Spirit. Indeed, if we are to take the witness of the book of Acts seriously, and we do, these times of being freshly filled with the Holy Spirit occur over and over again in the Christian life, over and over again. In fact, the Bible, as I said, commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Listen to what Paul says. This mitigates against my illustration of the C.S. Lewis pint thing. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine or beer or anything else, for that is debauchery. Listen, here's the command. I hope you're following. But be filled with the Spirit. Christian, you're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Each one of us should be hungering this morning and thirsting for a fresh infilling from the Holy Spirit that results in greater gifts for Christian witness and greater holiness of heart and life. Are you hungering for greater gifts for Christian witness and greater power for holy living? Are you hungering for the church to be anointed again as it was on the day of Pentecost as a body of believers for mission in the world? We need to be. So back to where we started. God has given every believer the helper, the advocate, the Holy Spirit to supernaturally empower us to live the impossible Christian life. So if we're believers and we seem to lack the power for Christian living, we seem to lack the power of the helper in our lives, what is the answer for that? Because many Christians are flying around without a supercharger. We need to constantly be filled and refilled by the Holy Spirit. As I said, we're commanded for that. How do we do this? How am I, if I don't believe I'm walking in the power of the Spirit right now, I'm a believer, I've been indwelt, I'm baptized, born again, follower of Jesus, but my spiritual life seems languid, and my prayer life is uninspired, and my witness is timid, the power for holiness seems to have leaked away. How am I going to be filled? Here, listen. The first thing is we must desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's three things. If you want to write them down, here's three things, okay? Preachers have all got to have three things. The first thing is you need to desire to be filled. I love A.W. Tozer. Some of you are too young to know who I'm talking about. But he said the degree of fullness in any life accords perfectly with the intensity of true desire. This is what he said. We have as much of God as we actually want. We have as much of God as we actually want. Do you want to be filled with the power of God? But we also, the second thing is we have to surrender. If we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then we have to repent of self-directed living and be willing to surrender our lives in love completely to Him. Back to John 14, we heard it this morning. Jesus says in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And now ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. We need to repent of our sins and seek to live in concert with God's word. Again, Tozer writes, do you want to be filled with a spirit? Though he is like Jesus in his gentleness and love, will nevertheless demand to be Lord of your life. We are doing things, my wife and I are doing things right now that we would never do unless Jesus was Lord of our life. He is demanding an obedience of us in this present moment, and you know what I'm talking about. This happens in your life too. This is a part of surrendering to Him. When He asks you to do the hard thing, the holy thing, will you do that thing? Will you repent of your self-directed living and saying, not my will, but your will be done? Back to Tozer here, he says, if the Spirit takes charge of your life, He will expect unquestioning obedience in everything. He will take the direction of your life away from you. Amen. Now, it'll be better, but it might not be what you planned. He will take the direction of your life away from you. He will reserve the right to test you, to discipline you, to chasten you for your soul's sake. He may strip you of many of those borderline pleasures which other Christians enjoy, but which are to you a source of refined evil. Through it all, He will... Through it all, He will enfold you in a love so vast, so mighty, so all-embracing, so wondrous that your very losses will seem like games and your small pains like pleasures. Will you surrender to that? And then finally, the third thing is, how are we filled? We have to ask. I think that the main reason that most Christians are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit is that they just haven't asked for this infilling. They didn't know it was available. We had not heard there was a Holy Spirit. They didn't know they could ask. Jesus says it, though, in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask. Listen, Jesus is telling you this. Ask and it will be given to you. But does He mean me? Yes, He means you. Seek and who will find? You will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Listen, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Will you ask? So, Christian brother or sister, as we witness these children receive the sacrament of holy baptism, and as we come later to receive ourselves the sacrament of Holy Communion, why don't you ask to be filled again with the power of God for mission and witness and for holy living? And ask that God indeed would say what our dear friend and brother is going to be with the Lord Tozer said, that you will be filled with a love so vast, so mighty, that your losses will seem like gains. And your little pains will seem like pleasures. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.